Our first passage is Proverbs 12, beginning at verse 14. You're welcome to follow along in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Proverbs 12, beginning at verse 14. From the fruit of the mouth, one is filled with good things, and manual labor has its reward. Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to advice. Fools show their anger at once, but the prudent ignore an insult. Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence, but a false witness speaks deceitfully. Rash words are like sword thrusts, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only for a moment. Deceit is in the mind of those who plan evil, but those who counsel peace have joy. No harm happens to the righteous, but the wicked are filled with trouble. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. One who is clever conceals knowledge, but the mind of a fool broadcasts folly. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the lazy will be put to forced labor. Anxiety weighs down the human heart, but a good word cheers it up. The righteous gives good advice to friends, but the way of the wicked leads astray. The lazy do not roast their gain, but the diligent obtain precious wealth. In the path of righteousness there is life, and walking its path there is no death. The word of the Lord, my friends. you, John. Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, first 17 verses. This is a favorite chapter for many of you, and I think we're going to get into why. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." Have you ever met someone who just really impressed you with their credentials and accomplishments in life? For me, one of those persons that stands out is Hamden Sydney's last president, Chris Howard. I honestly have never considered the current president. I haven't seen his list, so I don't really know. He's a lovely man, and I'm sure he's done amazing things too. But when I saw the resume for President Howard back in the day, who, by the way, is pretty much my age, my jaw was left on the floor. He led his high school football team to a state championship in Texas. He went on to the Air Force Academy, where he made first team academic All-American as a running back and received the first ever Dready Trophy and by the National Football Foundation. He was also class president and a cadet group commander. He was also inducted into the Academic All-American Football Hall of Fame. He was a Rhodes Scholar, attended Oxford University, received a Master's of Philosophy and a PhD in Political Science. He also receives a Master's in Business Administration from Harvard Business School with distinction. Served the Air Force in South Africa, Bosnia, Afghanistan, retired as a lieutenant colonel in the reserves, and was awarded a Bronze Star. He worked at Bristol-Myers Squibb, where he managed a $100 million HIV-AIDS initiative in South Africa, and created his own nonprofit to help young people of color in South Africa with scholarships and travel expenses. Of course, he was also the vice president of the University of Oklahoma, president of Hanman Sydney, president of the Robert Morris University, and currently vice president of Arizona State University. Whether he did a good job or not as president here is not the point. I think some had issues with some leadership. There was whatever. But for somebody who's like my age, when I was reading these things, it sounds like some of this stuff is made up. This is pretty doggone impressive. He's also, of course, a husband, a father, a leader in his church, and a very pleasant person to talk to. Now, how does that life, with all of its impressive things, stack up to Jesus' life? If we must compare the accomplishments of Jesus and Howard, or anyone else, for that matter, whose life seems to have had more to offer? Now, if you're thinking Jesus, of course, yes, you're right. I feel fairly certain any of us would pick Jesus as our lifetime achievement winner. But then when you get to John chapter 14, and one of the passages that really causes me to wonder just what Jesus is thinking. Maybe you had that same question as I was reading it. We are supposed to be able to do more than Jesus. Little old me, little old you. How is this possible? Yes, you and I are supposed to do more and greater things than Jesus himself. But don't take my word for it. John 14 is one of those passages that people tend to like. It's a favorite, especially when they're facing hard times, maybe end of life times, when we're thinking about traveling to our heavenly home. It's a passage of comfort, hope, and promise as we think about our earthly end. From the beginning of this chapter, that promise to go to our Father's house is the whole frame. Yes, but that's only just the beginning of this chapter. It's really a passage about so much more. Jesus is preparing to leave. This is the beginning of his goodbye message to his disciples, but he's not taking them with him just yet. They will still be around for years, maybe decades. By tradition, John lived a good long life while with his gospel being the last one that was written. The whole Jesus movement took decades to really build steam. It was not an overnight success. So there was time to live and do and minister in Jesus' name before things got rough. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us with this passage. Even though he is leaving, he's not leaving us alone or without help. He clearly expects anybody who's listening to him to follow in his work. He clearly expects people who are listening to him to carry on his work. And he seems certain that we will do more and greater things than he has done. Even if that just seems hard for me to believe. It's hard for me to believe because I tend to rely on what I can do by myself, right? Maybe you're like me. We live in this DIY society. Do it yourself, right? This culture of rugged American individualism. We want to be self-reliant and self-sufficient and self-supporting. In fact, it is commonly and culturally seen as a sign of weakness if you need help. Ever heard that? This is one of the worst products of our Americanism. Only weak people need help. So many sisters and brothers have suffered in isolation and loneliness when they needed someone to talk to or someone to help them. In fact, I'm going to say it's actually a sign of strength to reach out and to seek someone else's help. It takes courage to do that. But too many of our young people succumb to the fear of getting others involved in our struggles. In 2021, suicide was the second leading cause of death for young people between 10 and 14 and 20 to 34 years of age. That is an extreme result of helplessness and hopelessness. In the face of the world's ways, however, Jesus calls us to something different. There is good news for those who want to see a future in God's love and ministry. There is a future for those who need to know community in Christ and the gift of family and faith. We have the gift of help together. While Jesus seems to be presenting these high expectations for what our fellowship might do as it walks in His steps, we are never walking alone. His actual Spirit, His very presence will be with us the whole time, and we will be able to do anything that we need to do with God's help. The other day I was sharing this passage with the 30-ish people in the communion service over at the Woodland, and we did a life check. We can do that here also. Just for a moment, consider how many years you have lived in your life. Just your own life. Consider how many experiences you have shared, how many things you've been able to do, how many things you have done to share God's goodness with loved ones, community folk, and even the people that are hard to love, but you love them anyway. And all of that is just your life. Add your experiences to the person sitting near you. Add your years together and the ways you've known and shared God's love. As Presbyterians, we have a big leg up here since we understand longevity. We have lots of years between us. So when we start adding our years together, we have exponential possibilities. Just 10 people living to 70 have 700 years of experience between them. That's staggering. Jesus, in His brilliance and service, had maybe 30-something. While He accomplished so much in His few years and rewrote human history with God's grace, His few years pales when compared to the years and lives and deeds of God's children ever since. Our mistakes cannot be forgotten, no, and there are many of them, but the aggregate of our good things done with the help of Jesus' Spirit is beyond count. Yes, we are also amazing. I saw this pretty clearly in the work of the folk down in Guatemala. Of course, in just a few minutes, I'll be sharing a bit more about what I experienced down there. But they continue to do so much good in meaningful ways. They transform lives through education and opportunities. They confront the evil of their world, the culture, their government with the love of Jesus. There's no turning back. They're taking these problems on head on. The motivation and commitment spoke to me in deep and sincere ways. There is no backup plan. There is no other way forward. In countries where corruption is so commonplace, there's so very little hope for the people. Now, we are not exempt from corruption here either, but our institutions do work hard to provide checks and balances. Even with their work, we know lots of shortcomings. And we know we cannot rely on the government or those services to be the love of God in our community. I believe in people trying to do good for their neighbor. And when we combine efforts, join forces, share in the Spirit, there is much good to do. It has kind of always been a challenge for Presbyterians to get too excited about the Holy Spirit. That is our loss. We are so focused on things staying decent and orderly that we often keep the Spirit at arm's length. Rather, we should welcome God's creative presence. I cannot imagine anyone really believes that they will get the kind of necessary service in Christ this world needs done all by themselves. We're here for the labor of a lifetime, and it is a labor that is greater than any of us can imagine. It is a labor that is for us all, no matter how much we have or can do. We're all added into this great and glorious labor together and have a part in God's amazing collection of service in Jesus. We all have a place in the Spirit with all of our sisters and brothers in Jesus. The world can be changed with our help, but it will take all of us in the Spirit. To God be the glory. Amen.